asked us to gather one more time, and at the end of the service, we're going to be having a dedication of some of the things that we've been doing around the church. Our trustees have been involved in that, so we're going to have that part of our celebration. We ought to give God thanks for everything. Amen?
Amen.
So we'll be doing that at the close of the service. But today, we're going to look into a new series on prayer. On prayer. How many of you feel like you pray like you ought to? Nobody, yeah. Today we're going to learn something on prayer, and the word for the day is urgency. Everybody say urgency.
Urgency.
Urgency. You want God to hear you.
Amen.
And guess what? God wants to hear from you.
Amen.
Urgency. That's our word from the day. Luke 18, verse 1, we find something on prayer that is very significant as we start today. And again, I think the choir just sung the song about falling in love with Jesus. If you knew how much God cared about you, you would love him more. You would serve him better. You would, and not because it's your duty, but because of that grace of God that's working in you. Amen? Amen. So we're going to talk about prayer today and learn something about prayer. I know I learned in my study, and I want to share that with you. Amen? One verse that simply says, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. They ought always to pray and not to faint. I want to talk about there's power in prayer. Before you take your seat, first of all, say good morning. I know you had to rush in here. Say good morning to somebody. And then tell them there's power in prayer. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Lord God Almighty, we're so thankful that you've blessed us to come together again. You've given us this opportunity of worship. We know that it's early in the morning. People are getting ready to celebrate the 4th of July and liberty and freedom and all of these wonderful things that we celebrate. But without you, we could do nothing, absolutely nothing. So therefore, we are grateful and we want to show our gratitude by praising and worshiping you. And Father, we just come today asking that you would feed us from your word, help us that we would learn, and then having learned, let us share it with someone else. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Do me a favor and write this down. I want you to write this down. It's a question. If Jesus was here today, would he have a cell phone? Now, wait a minute. Some of y'all drawing a conclusion. Okay. Last Sunday, I made a statement about people using a cell phone. And a lot of people, you look up your scripture on your cell phone, right? You have it right there because you got everything and you can look it up and therefore you can recall it at a later time. So that's fine. So the question is, if Jesus was here, Rhoda, you looking at me laughing, right? Would he have a cell phone? What would be the need for him to carry a cell phone? His need probably is not our need. Now, you know he's already got contact with the Father, right? That's not, so wouldn't need a cell phone for that. And you know he could contact you, right? Wouldn't need a cell phone for that. He knows everything. So would he need a cell phone? Give me the answer back next Sunday, okay? The business of prayer. What does prayer mean? And what can prayer do? It's interesting that Luke, Dr. Luke, a physician, it's interesting how he goes into the subject of prayer, but he tells you why he's going to talk about one of these parables of Jesus. Obviously, the Gospel of Luke was written after he had walked and talked with Jesus, and Luke was not what we call an eyewitness. He got his information from others who were eyewitnesses and who shared what they knew about Christ. And a lot he obtained from Mark, who did know Jesus. and who was a witness to what Christ has done. So Luke, in investigating and bringing out information, he zoned in on the topic of prayer. And notice the words that he is using in this verse. He's telling us ahead of the parable why Jesus is teaching us about prayer. Now would be a good time for us to ask ourselves the question, how seriously do we take this business of prayer? Do we know what it can do? Do we know the impact of calling on the name of the Lord? And how wonderful it is to talk to God. A couple of things that we'll be bringing out, but when we think about a business operation, we often think about what they do, how they engage in it, the resources that they need to keep the business going. Do you not realize that your life cannot function without contact with God? Every morning that you wake up, brand new mercy. As if you didn't have enough mercy yesterday. God pours it out on us. But now, as I've seen this, there seem to be some people who spiritually, they're engaged at a different level than others. They seem to be at a different functioning level because they have something that maybe the rest of us don't have. And I believe with all my heart, it involves prayer. It involves our calling on the name of the Lord and believing that God will hear us. So there are a couple of things that you as a believer ought to be doing, and God seeks one of them. It says specifically in Scripture, He seeks worshipers. Worshipers. God wants people to worship Him. How? In spirit and in truth. If you're not a worshiper of God, if you're not a regular worshiper of God, then I would check myself. I would check myself because He's looking for that. He wants that from you. It's the least that we could do is to worship Him. What does worship mean? It simply means to ascribe praise, which we've done that. It means to give God credit. Amen. If God does something in your life, you give Him credit, right? But the other thing that God wants us to do is to pray. You don't need to have a reason why you ought to be praying. You ought to recognize that every now and then you're going to fall, and every now and then you're going to need some help. So we pray, and as the Scripture says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Let's dig into that, and let's get started with this subject on power in prayer. When we think about the priorities in prayer, this verse brings out some things. Then we're going to get into the parable about this woman, this desperate woman, this woman who was a widow. She knew the power and illustrated very clearly the power of prayer. Priorities in prayer. First of all, there's urgency. Everybody say urgency. Yeah, I like that word, urgency. When you get hungry, you get urgent. You know, when I get hungry, I'm a vegetarian, right? When I get hungry, I'm almost tempted to eat a hot dog. It says in the verse, you ought to. You're supposed to. It is urgent that you pray. Whenever you don't pray, the devil knows about it. When you do pray, the devil knows about it. And guess when he's going to arrange his attack? When he thinks you ain't praying. He comes in, as Robert Frost says, as a little cat, the fog on little cat feet. He sneaks into your life ever so cleverly to take over and to dictate to you. But when you've had a talk with God, when you have spoken to the Lord and God has acknowledged your prayer, then you know I've been praying. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Jesse, before I read this passage, I thought I was doing pretty good in prayer. I make it a goal to try to pray 1 hour a day. This verse doesn't say that. It doesn't say pray 1 hour a day, because, well, you got 23 other hours? What you going to do now? It says men ought always to pray. And this brings us to something called consistency. Now, I know you're probably sitting back, hey, preacher, wait a minute. How am I going to pray all the time? Well, to have prayer on your mind and to be in a prayerful attitude, something that we try to do here at Crossroad, and it became a priority with us, is that we understand that people need Wi-Fi. How many of y'all know what that means? I can tell you that back when I started in ministry, Wi-Fi didn't mean a thing. What does that mean now? It means that you are connected. Some of you, when you got to church, you pull out your electronic device and you look for that little upside down pyramid to see whether you were connected, right? And if you got a good signal, that meant you now have access to get online with the internet and you can communicate with people. What about your connection with God? You may not always be down on your knees, but prayer needs to be as instant as you being connected. Something happened beyond our control and we lost power to our router in our house. And my wife flipped out. What am I going to do all weekend without a connection? She knew the value of that. Some people need that because you have medical information that you've got to get in contact with. You've got people that, in case they want to get in contact with you, you can reach them. You need a connection. What about your connection with God? When is the last time that you had a good, serious talk with the Lord God Almighty and said, Lord, I'm calling on you. I need you in my life. And someone said, if you don't think you need God, try catching your next breath without him. See if you can get a heartbeat without the Lord. Even when we don't pray, God still has mercy on us. Can I get some witnesses in the building? We're going to see it demonstrated in this woman that she was consistently in the face of a judge who was unjust, didn't fear God. He said, now, this woman just keeps coming. I'll get into that in just a minute. But urgency in prayer, consistency in prayer, and then the last thing that you got to do, you got to believe that prayer is sufficient. What I mean by that? So there's sufficiency in prayer. It says, do not give up. Do not give up. I want some of you to repeat this because some of you are at the point now, you're about to give up. Say it to yourself, I will not give up. I will not give up. I'm going to give you the reason for that, because God is not about you and me giving up, especially when we're doing what's right. A lot of people are giving up on their faith. Well, I didn't get what I wanted. Who told you you were going to get what you wanted? Bible says he'll supply all your need. It didn't say he'd give you everything you want. Well, it's too hard. Who told you that it was easy? You read in the 23rd Psalm, doesn't say anything about riding through the valley of the shadow of death. It says, though I walk. Look at somebody, tell them, you got to walk this thing. Your faith is going to be challenging. Why? Because you're growing by faith. You're believing by faith, you're trusting God, and it's going to get tough sometime. Do I have some witnesses? The old church would tell you, it's going to get hard sometime. But if you would keep your hand in God's hand and keep praying, I again quote that scripture, Jesus spoke this parable unto them to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now is not the time for giving up. Let me say a little bit about this as we get into it. Jesus went on to tell the parable about this widow. This widow. Verse 2 says, there was in a certain city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Verse 3, and there was a widow in that city. Something had happened to her husband. Something had happened. He's no longer in her life. And I want to tell you something. We've got a large number of widows. Husband ain't dead, but he ain't there. Isn't that something? Let me go and preach. I got into it now. The Bible does not lie. It says, men, he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Amen. I've been married for 50 years. I got favor. I got favor. Plus, I got a good-looking wife. Isn't that something? Well, now this widow is in a position where something has happened. She has what's known as an adversary. She has an enemy that is trying to take something or to cause some harm in her life, and she needs somebody to come to the rescue. She finds out exactly who can represent her, and she goes to see the judge. Guess what? She appoints herself. If nobody else is going to pray, you need to pray for yourself. So why do we pray? We pray because we're facing adversity. The older you get, your body is going to face adversity. The more you engage in this world, you're going to face financial adversity. How many of y'all going through that? Bills come in and not enough money? Okay, that's adversity. How many of y'all want to be everybody's friend, but everybody's not your friend? That's adversity. When people purposely attack you and come up with schemes to destroy you, that's adversity. You're going to face adversity, and if you don't face it from individuals around you, you have an adversary called the devil. Evil. You got one more adversary. That's your own fleshly mind. Your own selfishness can become a very adversary to you and seek to destroy you. What if you gave your body everything it craved? Yeah, I love cake. And you know you got sugar. You. As my wife was saying, the folks down home say, you're diabetical. So why in the world would you want to give yourself something that is going to later cause you harm? It becomes an adversary to you. This woman recognized that she had an adversary, and she wanted the judge to do something about her adversary. She prayed because the pressure was on. Some of you came in here today, you came in to worship God, but Lord knows you got a ton of problems and things that bother you, and it would consume you, but for one thing, and that is you know how to pray. In praying, you don't have to get every T crossed and every I dotted. You just have to know how to call on Him. Can I get some witnesses here? I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in just a little bit, but you have an adversary which causes us, which pressures us to engage in prayer. Most of the times that I've prayed in my life, I prayed because I had a problem. Amen. God knew that I was going to have some problems. Now, let me give you some benefits from problems. You would never grow if you never had a storm. Amen. You would never know how much God can deliver unless He has delivered you. Amen. Some of you have been in the storm and rain. You've been through the trials and the situations that come your way. You've had your heart to break sometimes. It drove you to your knees, but on your knees were the best place that you could be because you were closer to God on your knees. You have an adversary, but not only can you make the request because of adversity, but you make the request because you have access. Everybody say access. This woman, the judge did the wrong thing when he told her he could come. She could come. Notice it says that she kept on coming. As I read in the verse, Luke 18, This woman, her request was, avenge me of my enemy or my adversary, and he would not for a while. Underscore that, for a while, which meant every day, here she comes. Every day, here she comes. How many of y'all are that consistent in prayer? Every day, you're calling on God. Lord, move in my home. God, move in my life. Lord, help me to overcome this habit. Amen. I know some of y'all don't want to admit you got habits, but you got them.
Amen.
And other folk know about it. Say amen or say, oh me. You're learning, and when you pray, you overcome these things. You understand what God is doing. The urgency of prayer and the consistency of prayer, it's not something that God is saying, okay, you just do it when you feel like it. No. You got to be consistent in prayer, and you got to make sure that you're calling on God. He gives you access. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace. The admonition to pray is something that we have over and over in the scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. Never give up on your prayer. James 5 in verse 13 tells us, if any of you are afflicted, let them pray. It reminds us over and over again. 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your care upon him, because what? He cares for you. You pray because you have access. Do you not know that when you get ready to pray, the angels open the gates of heaven so that you can walk right on in? Praying is a marvelous thing. Now, I know the judge, he wished he could get rid of that woman, but he couldn't. He was probably thinking, she's going to give up. But guess what? She didn't. She kept praying. She kept believing. She kept knowing, you're the one that's got the answer. I still got an adversary, and you're the one that's going to help me get through this problem. When you call upon the Lord, God will hear your prayer. I never see in the scripture where the Lord turned anybody away from praying. Now, there were times when people prayed too late. You can pray too late. Don't wait until you leave this world, and then you're going to say, well, I need to pray. No, it's too late now. But while the blood is still running warm in your veins, you need to call on God. We have access to prayer. We also know that we have an adversary which causes us to pray. But then in prayer, you have an advocate. Here's where it gets good. Everybody say good.
Good.
Bible tells us, as we go on further in the scripture, the judge would not for a while, but afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God and nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me. She's troubling me. She's bothering me. I'm going to hear her, and I'm going to give her a request. Lest by her continual coming, she weary me. In other words, she was wearing him out. I can imagine in my mind, she's probably a little bit of age, maybe walking a little bit, bent over, might even had a cane, but here she come every day. Judge, remember me? I'm not giving up on you. Because I know you can hear my prayer. And if God, listen, it says it right in the scripture. Right in the scripture. And the Lord said, everybody said, the Lord said.
The Lord said.
The Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? In other words, God might leave you in it for a little while, but amen, he may not come when you want him, but can somebody say he's right on time? This woman recognized that she had threats. She recognized that she had adversity. She recognized, but she also recognized that the judge was going to hear her. And when you get on your knees, you need to recognize, I'm not praying in vain. The devil will try to tell me a lot of time, all you're doing is talking to the roof. I said, no, I'm going beyond the roof. Amen. I'm going beyond this universe in which we live. I'm going beyond the atmosphere. I'm going reaching out to, as a matter of fact, I don't have to reach out to him because he's already in here.
Amen.
When you got him in your soul, you know that the Lord is going to hear your prayer. You know that God, amen, will plead on your behalf. And by the way, this woman appointed herself. When she went to the judge, she had to formulate and draw up a draft of her case. She had to get everything in order and all the facts and the details. How many of y'all ever watched Judge Judy? Rough lady, rough lady. Judge Judy don't mess around. But you're not standing before Judge Judy. You're standing before Almighty God. Can I get a witness? You're standing before the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory. This woman had nobody but herself. But when you pray, look at somebody and tell them, but when you pray. The Bible says that we have an advocate. We have a lawyer, and his name is Jesus. Every time you come with your case, Jesus said, I'm going to represent you. How do you do that, Pastor? Every time you say, in the name of Jesus, God says, I'll hear the case. When you mention his name, demons already are beginning to bow. Why? Because every tongue will confess and every knee will bow that Jesus and say that Jesus is Lord and he's the King of Kings. Can I get a witness here? You got to know that he is the Lord. You have access to God. So why don't we pray more? If we know all this, why don't we pray more? So the conviction that you and I ought to be having is that, man, I'm going to engage in prayer more and more. More and more, really, that's just a start. It says you always pray. I want you to vow that you will always pray. Every time you check your connection on your phone, I want to ask yourself, you need to ask yourself the question, am I checking my connection with God? Am I connected with the Lord in heaven? Does he know the needs of my life? And is he speaking into my heart the things that I need to know? Because Lord knows if you're telling yourself stuff, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. But if heaven is giving you information, you're going to get out of trouble. You're going to find the way and the key to doing the things that you need to do in your life. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Finally, I close with this. There's the effect of prayer. Remember I told you that you have an advocate, which is Jesus. He presents your case before God. We pray in his name. We pray based on his authority. He's there to represent us before the Father. Didn't I say that? But you also have something praying in you. It's called the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. And it says in the book of Romans, chapter 8, in verse 26, it says that we don't know how to pray as we ought to. How many of y'all admit that? We don't know how to pray as we ought to. But it doesn't stop there. But the Spirit, look at it. The Spirit, man, y'all getting quiet on me. The Spirit makes intercession for you and me with groanings too deep for words. You can't pray at that level, but he's praying in you at that level because he looks beyond your fault and sees your need. When God starts moving you to pray, don't think that you're praying all by yourself. The Holy Spirit is right there. And maybe you're praying at this level, and the Holy Spirit says, Father, no, they need this rather than that. Because if you give them what they need, they'll be able to get through that storm. They'll be able to get through that battle. Some of you would have given up a long time ago, but you got up the next morning and you felt differently. You felt like something had happened. It wasn't your prayer that got you through. It was the Holy Spirit that was getting you through it. Why? Because the goal is not for you to get everything you want in life. But one of these old days, you and I are going to stand before God, and God does not want you looking just any kind of way in His kingdom. Amen? He wants you to look like and to talk like and to walk like Jesus Christ. And what the Holy Spirit is doing when you're praying, He's molding you, He's shaping you, He's helping you, and when you're weak, He makes you strong. When you feel like you can't go on, He gives you the encouragement so that you can get up each and every day and say, "The Lord is with me." For that reason, you never give up on prayer. You never say to yourself, "This ain't gonna work," because He that works in you is gonna complete the work. Can I get a witness here? There are a lot of people afraid of the Holy Spirit because they don't understand it. And another reason why they are afraid of the Holy Spirit, because they want to be in charge of your life. You can't have two people leading you. This woman knew what she wanted, but you don't always know what you want. But God knows what you want. As a matter of fact, He looks beyond every thought that you got and see what you need. Do I have some witnesses in here? A lot of us would be just as proud, just as boastful as we could. But when you pray, you got to get on some bending knees. You got to say, "God, I need you. God, I want you in my life. God, I can't do anything about you." And when you call upon the Lord, God will hear you. Every sin that you committed that should have sent you to hell, God hears you. God forgives you. God gives you another chance. If you don't believe He gave you another chance, why in the world do you think you're sitting here right now? He gave you another chance. He had mercy on you. Oh, no, 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 no. You didn't live so good yesterday. You didn't do everything you should have done. Amen. A lot of time you turn your back on folk when they needed your help. Come on, help me somebody. But the Lord had mercy on you. Look at somebody and tell them, "God had mercy on me." I feel like preaching in here. That's why when I go to church, I'm going to do one or two things. Either I'm going to praise Him or I'm going to pray to Him. I'm not going to sit there like a bump on the log like I don't know God. I'm going to give Him some thanks. I'm going to give Him some glory. Can I tell you why? Because if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, can I tell you what Grandma said? He walks with me. He holds my hand. I would have fallen a long time ago, but God made a way. He made a way where there was no way. People say, "He gonna give out, I'm still here." People say, "He gonna break down, I'm still here." I'm here because I prayed and I trusted God. You can't be cute in prayer. You can't act like you know everything when you pray. You got to go to God and you got to be hungry for His word and need God to feed you. Amen. I'm done. I'm finished preaching. But, if He made a way for Daniel, why in the world can't He make a way for you? If He made a way for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, why can't that same God move in your life? If He healed the sick, why can't He do it right now? If He delivered people from darkness, what's happening right now? We need to pray. If my people who are called by my name, you ain't got to do but a couple of things. Humble yourself. Pray. And turn from your wicked ways. Then God said, then I'll hear from heaven. I will forgive your sin. Thank God for forgiveness. Nobody else in here might not need it, but thank God I got forgiveness. The blood of Jesus. Oh, I'm going to sit down because y'all going to make me preach overtime. There's power in prayer. And if you don't get to that power in prayer, you're missing your connection. Go back to that router of your life, that central, that focal point where everything connects. deep down in your soul, make that connection with God and say, God, I really need you. I thank you that you give me the privilege to affect this thing, to actually get it working. The other day, my wife was so happy when that Wi-Fi signal came back on. But if it wasn't for the affect, the working, I'm on the line, I'm talking to the technician, they're saying, do this, I did that. Same way with God. Got a problem, I'm on the line, I'm saying, Lord, what do I do now? Connect this. Move this over here. You wired up wrong. God Almighty. You got your wires crossed. When you get the wires connected, then you have the effect of prayer. Then you know, good God, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to stop preaching. But do you all get it?
Yes.
I'm still getting it. Praise God. Because of his mercy. Don't miss this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful opportunity that we have to pray to our God. As much as you want to talk to him, he wants to talk to you.
Amen.
He wants to tell you that everything is going to be all right.
Amen.
You probably haven't heard that in a long time, have you? Everything. Everything. Everything is going to be all right. You can't change the past, but you can change your response to what happened in the past.
Yes.
And you can trust God.
Yes.
Father, thank you for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for moving. Thank you, God, that we get to pray.
Yes.
We get to talk to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. And one thing we want to tell you, Lord, is that we praise you and honor you for all that you've done in our lives. We didn't come to church today to see who's here. We didn't come to church for people to notice who we are. We came to church today to pray and to praise your name. And we love you so much, and we thank you for all that you've done. Maybe you've never made a decision, you with your heads bowed. You maybe have put it off for a long time. I'm not going to live for God. I got my life to live. Maybe that's been the theme of your life. You might be listening online and hearing this little crazy preacher talk about God and praying. I'm talking to you today. You need to get it right with God, and you need to do it today. Don't put it off another moment. Not because something tragic might happen, but the tragedy is you will miss out on some great opportunities to know him more and to serve him better. Your past is not that important for you to give up and to say there's no hope. You got a bright future because you've got God. Hear our prayer, O God. Give ear to our supplication and pity our need and answer us, we pray. And Lord, we'll forever give you praise and glory. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to give the invitation. There might be someone in here, maybe you're saying, hey, Pastor, I'm taking this thing seriously. Maybe you're not a part of the church. You want to be a part of our church family. We'd love to have you. Love to have you. Grow with us, pray with us, serve God together. I'm going to ask that we all stand. If you're online, you can't get in here, but you can right where you are. Say, God, I need you in my life.
Amen.
For the first time, I really want to pray, and I want to talk to you. God will hear you. And if you feel led, contact us, pastor@crossroadbc.com. Go to our website. You'll be able to find a lot of helpful things to help you grow and learn more about Christ. CrossroadBC.com. Or if you want to send me an email, it's pastor@crossroadbc.com. You're on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook, so you're going to have to call me or either get in touch with me at pastor@crossroadbc.com. Amen?
Amen.
Invitation is given. Doors of the church are open. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. Did y'all learn something today?
Yeah.
Man, I got happy today. I thank God. I'm feeling pretty good. Amen. Amen.